Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Welcome to the Off Menu Podcast, chopping the apple of humour and throwing that into the fruit salad.
That's a gamble. My name is James A. Gaster. We own a dream restaurant, and every week we invite a guest in and ask them their favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish and drink, not in that order. And this week our guest is
Carol Vorderman. We are well and truly in Nash Treasure territory, James.
And Carol is the first national treasure we've had on the podcast who could open up that treasure chest, count all the money, and tell us exactly how much is in there.
Yeah.
To the pound.
It's not money in there, is it? It's other people.
Oh, is it a treasure chest for the people?
Well, national treasures.
Yeah.
What do you think? What do you think the national treasure chest is?
Full of treasure. And that's what represents them. It's more of a...
Oh, right.
But
then as soon as the treasure chest opens, Carol's going to turn into a coin.
Is that how it works? They turn into a coin and they're in the chest forever. Wow. That's nice.
Yeah,
I guess.
It's nice, yeah.
That must be comforting.
Yeah.
Carol, of course, everyone knows Carol Vorderman. I grew up watching Carol on Countdown.
Me too.
Then we got to see our friend Joel Dommett, the comedian, go into the jungle with Carol.
Yes.
And these days, not only does she have a fantastic podcast, but also is bringing out a new book, Carol Vorderman's Perfect 10.
Yes, this is based on her podcast. It's sort of 10 quiz questions a day, the podcast. And that's what the book is sort of a little bit like that. I mean, there's some interesting questions in there. Maybe, you never know, James, when Carol's in the dream restaurant, maybe she'll quiz us on some stuff.
I really hope so. I love being quizzed. I love little brain busters.
You do love little brain busters.
I love
it on television.
Buster.
And then you have a meltdown just before you're about to film it.
I don't know what you're referring to.
Well, I can find the texts from when you were in the mastermind dressing room if you want.
Oh, yeah, they put the pressure on you.
They don't.
Very excited to have Carol on. But if Carol does pick a secret ingredient, an ingredient which we have deemed to be unacceptable, we will all be forced to kick her out at the dream restaurant. And I hope that doesn't happen, Ed.
No, me too. And the secret ingredient this week is
Alphabetti spaghetti.
Of course, a cheeky little nod and a wink to Carol's life as the Countdown letters and numbers lady.
Yes. So, you know, I mean, maybe if Carol ate Alphabetti spaghetti, she would, you know, see it as one massive anagram on her plate and be forced to rearrange them into words and sentences.
Yes.
And make sense of her meal.
Also, it's disgusting, Alphabetti spaghetti.
Doesn't taste good.
Too slippery.
Slippery and slimy. Doesn't taste better than... I'd rather have spaghetti hoops.
Yeah, of course.
But I wouldn't want to have the little stubby little mini spaghetti strands that come in the sauce. I don't like those. The hoops reign supreme for me.
Hoops and sausages for me.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe a sausage that's wearing a hoop like a belt.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sexy sausage.
Little sexy sausage.
This is the off-menu menu of Carol
Vorderman.
Welcome, Carol, to the Dream Restaurant.
Oh, thank you. I'm very excited.
Welcome, Carol Vorderman, to the Dream Restaurant. We've been expecting you for some time. I had a lot of saliva in my mouth when I did that one, and
I really had to
hold it all in. It was very difficult.
Yeah, the traditional genie would explode out of the lamp, and there'd be like steam and stuff.
But... I know. I was expecting quite a lot of dry ice.
Yeah.
Mm. A la Stars in Their Eyes.
Yes.
I was expecting that amount. So quite disappointed, really.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's
I wasn't expecting a mouthful of saliva.
Yeah, yeah. No, I wasn't expecting it. I think you can see it on my face.
Yeah, well, there we go.
Have you ever been on Stars on Your Own? Do you ever do the celeb version?
I did. I was the very first person on it.
Wow.
Yes.
That's exciting.
I was an appalling Cher.
Yeah.
Yeah, really, really bad. And it was back in, I remember it because somebody was laughing at it the other day again.
Yeah.
And 1998 it was. And the boss of ITV was a guy called David Liddiman, who's a genius boss. And he came up with this idea, and it was the first ever celebrity version of a normal show.
Oh, wow.
And he said, I've got this idea, Carol, you know, that because I used to do a lot of shows for ITV peak time then. And he said, I know you love Stars in Their Eyes. He said, what do you reckon? I went, oh, that's genius. He said, yeah, get like famous people to do it. I went, absolutely genius. He said, and you're one of them. What? What?
If you'd known that he was planning on asking that, you'd have gone, I don't think it's a good idea, actually.
Terrible idea, David. Yeah. Yeah. And they persuaded me to do Cher. And it was really weird. So it was Matthew Kelly, obviously, tonight, Matthew, I'm going to be. And then when we were recording, and I had literally never sung through a microphone in my life. I mean, I'm a bit of a party animal, so you'd always find me on a table somewhere singing. But it's all right when you're drunk, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you just hear you as, you know, I was a cross between Blimmin' Cher and Celine Dion and all the rest. I was amazing, except I wasn't. And then when you got this microphone and they did all the dry ice and they go, tonight, Matthew. And then everybody does their tonight, Matthew, I'm going to be. And then you all go into makeup and they spend hours in makeup to transform everyone. Then you come back in and you do your performances. So I was on first and then all this dry ice, you know. Well, I couldn't see a thing and I'd chosen the Shoop Shoop song. And there's no musical intro. You know, normally it's like, hey, and everyone goes mad and then you walk down the steps to like four bars of music and then you stand at the microphone. No, I came through, everyone went, ah! Because I've been like little Carol Vorderman on Countdown, you know.
Yeah.
Here she was, like this incredible tart in leather. Everyone screamed. I couldn't hear a thing. And then I thought, oh, there's the music. I better start. Mm-hmm. Whereas by that point, it's too late. So I was like, does he do it again? Did it twice. And I was literally, the tears were involuntarily falling down my cheeks. And I thought, I can't. I said, I can't hear the music. And you know how in like entertainment, everyone's like really cynical, aren't they? Go, don't worry, love, we've got the shot of you coming through the ice. We've got the shot. Just stand on the top of the steps, start, you know, and all of that. So,
they let you pick it up. So that's not the version that went out.
They can't hear the music. They matched it, obviously, with the walk through.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Cut to an hour later.
Yeah.
Honestly.
The audience, like, okay, come on, let's get through this.
And then Matthew said to me, texted me on the night of transmission, because it went out months later, I couldn't watch it.
Yeah.
I literally felt sick. I thought, my career, that's it. It's over. And my cousin Pam was downstairs because she sort of half lived with us, watching it with my mum, who lived with us when I was married. And she shouted up, she went, don't worry, don't worry, Carol. Don't worry, love. It's a good job you can count. This was after it was a thing. That was Pam. And then Matthew texted me and he said, I think we might have a bit of an audience. I've just been supermarket shopping in Urmston, which is where he's from, in Manchester. He said, there's no one around, which was the sign. I think it got like 17, 18 million viewers or something. I mean,
wow.
It was like, you know,
the
equivalent of the coronation. Do you know what I mean?
Sure,
it was
that
sort of thing. Oh, I died. I did. Sorry, it's a long story, but I absolutely died for months.
I love that, because obviously this is all so pre-social media, that the way you could tell that lots of people were watching something is if the supermarket was empty.
Yeah.
Literally.
Go shopping in Urmston.
Literally, because you had to watch it, didn't you? You had to watch it live.
Yeah.
So, you know, I still can't sing, but anyway.
We're not going to ask you to sing today.
Oh, good.
We are.
Could you do another genie thing, though? Now imagine that you're at the top of the steps and you've got the dry ice.
Yeah, we're
going
to
just do it.
You're allowed
to
do a retake.
Tonight, Carol, I'm going to be a genie. Welcome, Carol Vorderman, to the Dream Restaurant. We've been expecting you for some time.
Better.
That was pretty good, wasn't it?
That was better.
Thank you.
Yeah. Like the Matthew Kelly vibe.
Yeah, let me pick it up. Plug that into the early one, but it made me look cool.
Anyway, it's a delight to be here.
Really happy to talk to you about food today, find out what your your special.
Why are you laughing, Benito?
Ben laughed at me because I never say really happy to talk to you about food today. I've never said that
to
anyone.
Yeah, but it sounds like a catchphrase.
Yeah, yeah.
But it really is.
Really happy to talk to you about food today.
Never said it.
It's like he's talking to his auntie, you see. That's like, yeah. It's like, oh, I've got like my auntie Carolyn and I better be like polite.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, we're going to be very polite.
We'll be polite boys. Yeah.
No, don't be polite.
Extra polite today.
No, don't be extra polite.
Well, you know our friend Joel Dommett, you're in the jungle with him. Yeah. Yeah, he says you're not polite at all.
No,
you're...
I'm not. I like, well, it's a northern thing, isn't it?
Party animal, like you said.
It's like, just insult me and I'm at ease.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was he like in the jungle, Joel?
It was funny. They were all funny. We had a lovely time there.
Yeah.
You know? Yours was the series where everyone got on.
Yeah, I properly got on. There were a lot of bromances going on. You know, it was Jordan Banjo and Adam Thomas and Wayne Bridge and Joel and Larry. And they just got on.
Mm-hmm.
And then the girls got on and it was, I don't know, it was just a lovely time, really. And obviously Joel did really well after.
Yeah.
And, which is wonderful.
Did you have to eat anything gross in the jungle?
Yes, I did the eating challenge with Scarlett. I was about to say Scarlett O'Hara. You wouldn't even know who I'm talking about. Scarlett Moffat. And well done.
Yes. frankly, Carol.
Anti-Carol.
Anti-Carol.
So, yeah, with Scarlett, and you don't know what, you know, when you're there and it's when somebody's eating a kangaroo's testicle, for instance, what do you do when you're sitting next to them? So I was just going, chew, chew, chew.
As if she'd forgotten
that
bit.
Why am I saying this? And then Scarlett just went, will you shut up? She went, shut up. I thought, yeah, you're right there. Yeah, just shut up, really.
So you didn't have to eat the kangaroo testicle?
No, I did, because it alternated,
I'd come two
with
testicles.
This big, you know, thing with like the silver, what do they call it?
Cloche,
thank you. And that would come, and then they'd describe what it was. And they normally, like, reeked of stuff.
Yeah.
And it was the chewiness of everything.
Yeah.
So you couldn't just go, I was better when we had the Hunger Games or Hungry Games. Yeah. Bless you.
Thank you. Held it in. Imploded.
And sneeze and saliva with this.
I know.
Today,
I don't know what the hell's happening with me, Carol. This is embarrassing.
And then we were in the Hunger Games, and I'm very good in, like, if I'm on a team.
Yeah.
I'm not so good when I'm, like, as an individual being competitive, but when I'm part of a team,
you really want to win.
Your side.
Yeah.
Because I am so competitive. Yeah. It was Hungry Games, so you can imagine, you know, team against team. And then they had mushed up, like blended all this horrible stuff. I was all right with that because I didn't have to chew it.
Yeah.
It was the chewy.
It's the texture more than anything. Yeah.
What was that like? Hundreds of kangaroo bollocks.
That sort of shit. Yeah. And ostrich, whatever they do, ostrich anus, or, you know, I mean, it was like blended. But blended.
Yeah, it was blended. I have
fish
an ostrich
eyes,
anus.
Blended fish eyes or something. Whereas eating a fish eye.
Huh?
Ostriches have an anus?
Cloaca or something.
It'd be a cloaca, wouldn't it? The ostrich.
Would it be?
Well, yeah, because they're birds, right? But I don't know whether it would have an anus or not.
Well, so they claim.
True.
You're not sure if an ostrich is a bird or not?
Have you met an ostrich?
I'm not sure I have, actually.
And it doesn't fly.
No, that's true.
No.
There we go.
Yeah, it's a bloke.
In an outfit.
Yeah, it's a bloke in an outfit.
100%.
Yeah. Bernie Clifton.
They're big things, though, aren't they?
They're massive.
Whoa. Oh, yeah, Rodhull's an emu, isn't it?
Yeah, Rodhull's emu.
It's a smaller version.
Yeah.
I love those. Have you seen them when people go on stag do's and stuff, particularly like rugby things, where they have the outfits where they are like the ostrich, so that they are Rod Hull, and then their legs go into the ostrich
legs, yeah,
or emu legs, yeah, and then it sticks out this sort of rider, whatever. I know it's not Rod Hull. It was the other
Bernie
comedian.
Bernie Clifton.
Yeah, I love those. I want one of those, actually.
Yeah, I think they're such a, like, I've seen them so many times, but every time they do make me laugh.
They just do, don't they?
And it does play that optical illusion every single time.
Yeah.
Works. It really does.
It's good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Stupid. I think you should get one.
who's the one who's got Orville?
Keith Harris.
Keith Harris, yeah.
What if you were in the jungle and they lifted up the cloche and it was just Orville's face and they killed it?
It depended what the prize was.
Yeah.
You would happily eat Orville if it was for something delicious.
Well, you might have to.
Yeah.
For the team.
And we're very excited because your perfect 10 quiz book is coming out.
Yes. September 14th.
Yep. 400 questions.
Yeah.
In this quiz book. Yeah, people can do like 10 a day.
It's called Perfect 10 and it started as a podcast in January. It's done really, really well. And so I didn't want it to just be general knowledge and all of that. So we've got like a riddle a day. There's a memory round where we will play you something on the podcast now, yeah, and then just ask you a question about what you've just heard. There's a hearsay round, so say what you hear and all of this kind of stuff. And some of the sort of, we call it the three Fs, they're like little fun questions. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to have studied the Tudors and Stuarts at mm-hmm. school or Shakespeare yeah. or something boring like that to get the answers. And it really has taken off. So it's 10 questions, 10 answers, all done in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
On the podcast, which is about long enough, isn't it?
Yeah.
Commuting. And everyone goes, oh, yeah, I only got 7. And if you get 10, it's like, oh, hello. It's Brian down the street today. And this is the book version. So it's all very new. And we've done see and say, or say what you see in this. But oh, yeah, it's funny as well, you know, and then little bits of information. So it's good, and it's a good laugh, and you can write your answers.
And it keeps your brain active every day.
Do you want to test us on any of them?
Do you want one?
Yeah.
I haven't prepped that bit. Okay. So, so we have a thing called two in, two out. So, so I give you a word, I spell it out, you can take two letters out,
yeah,
they will remain in the same position,
yeah,
and put two letters back in,
okay,
to make what I'm going to go. Yeah. Okay. So,
got a picture of the word in your head, Ed.
Which two letters can you change in the word tickets? T-I-C-K-E-T-S, to get a famous Victorian author.
Dickens. Take the T's, basically.
Yeah.
And put D and N.
Correct.
Yeah, that's good.
You see?
Actually.
Good man. 1 point to you.
I was worried I wasn't going to be able to think of any Victorian authors. And then by the time...
Well, I can only think of one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
Dickens.
What I did.
Yeah.
I just thought of the only one that I know.
Yeah, the main one.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's kind of, you know...
That's fun.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm livid now.
And then...
See? I feel great now for the rest of the day, and Ed feels awful.
I feel really bad now, Carol.
Do you?
Can you do another one? Yeah.
You're not too good on the words, then.
No, I'm quite good on the words normally.
Mm, didn't seem to be that.
Yeah,
time.
Good on languages.
The floor, yeah.
Dickens.
Are you good on languages?
Well, I like the words ones, but then we can do another. We can do a language.
Okay,
one.
We can do another language one.
We can do a language one.
You say you like the words ones, but actions speak louder than the words.
Well, I've won loads of TV quiz shows, so.
And now I'm trying to find you an easy one.
I'm weakest link.
Okay, this is a nice one. This is because it's Carol lateral thinking, we call this one.
Okay.
So this is a bit of number work.
Oh, no.
What will come next in this sequence?
Oh, no. Jesus. This is a disaster.
No, it's not.
Okay.
10, 20, 40, 80. Yeah?
Yeah.
160, okay,
yeah.
320.
Yeah.
Do you know what's happening there?
640.
Yeah. Well done.
Yeah.
There you go,
that's good. Thank you.
So some of them are
you gave me an absolute underarm there, Carol. Thank you
I
very
did.
Much.
Yeah, yeah. It's fine.
And you had to use the phrase, do you see what's happening there, to help him along.
And it did help.
It did help.
Now, something's happening there. Do you see what's happening?
Do you see what's happening there, Edward?
We always start the dream meal with still a sparkling water.
Well, that's an easy one for me. So, because we're going out,
yeah,
it's got to be sparkling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it gives you a little sense of occasion, I would
yes.
say. And this is honestly what I always order in a restaurant. So it's, oh, can I have a sparkling water, please? And can I have a jug of fresh lime juice?
Lovely.
Have you ever had it?
No, but it sounds...
It is really, really refreshing. That is genuinely what I always have. I'm not so keen on water, though. It's just a bit... bland, isn't it? So you have to have something in it. But the lime juice is really, really good.
How much lime juice are you adding to a glass?
Well, you have a splash.
Yeah.
So it sort of clouds the water mm-hmm. and it gives it a little taste. And it's very interesting about how much comes in the jug.
Yeah.
Because some people just give you like a little squirt, really.
Yeah.
They've only taken half a lime. Yeah. Well, that's no good, is it?
What are you done with the
and
other
I've
half?
Ordered a yeah. big bottle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Of sparkling water. That's no good. And then others come back with it's almost like a milk jug full. And then they've gone.
Yeah. How have they done that?
They've gone and juiced, you know, 1,000 limes for Miss Vorderman, you know, and then it comes in this like liter can. So yeah, it.
I love that you've got a move every time you go into a restaurant. Is the sparkling water with a jug of fresh lime juice.
That is genuinely what I ask for. Yeah,
fantastic.
And it's lovely. It's really lovely. It refreshes the palate. When I say things like that, you're going to say, she's a real foodie. I'm not. I will disappoint you for the next half an hour, believe me, in my choices. But that would be, that would be it. But what I wanted to do was just discuss, because the time our dream meal starts will actually determine what it is that I choose. So my favourite meal is a long lunch.
Yeah,
it's got to start. You know, boring people go, oh, should we go for lunch? Should we go for lunch, Ed? You go, yeah, I'll see you at 12:30 and I'll be gone by 2. No.
No.
What's the point?
No.
That's like, well, I'll have a bowl of soup. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
However, what I want this dream meal to do, because Richard Whiteley and I, my gorgeous Richard Whiters, used to go for long lunches, and we held the record when we were in London for quite a few of the longest lunches in various restaurants, including the Wolsey.
Yeah.
So you'd start about 2:33, minimum of 5 hours.
Wow.
Tending towards the 10 hours.
You and Whiteley.
That's not a lunch anymore, then, is it?
It's a long lunch.
You've tipped into dinner as well.
Yeah.
No, it's a long lunch. It's one meal. So then you like space it out a little bit. You say, well, I'll order the next course in about half an hour and I'll come back in half an hour and out. And it's amazing because you get to bed at a reasonable time.
Yeah.
Because if you go out for dinner, you go, oh, what time? Well, let's go out for dinner. And sorry, Jane. Let's go out for dinner, Jane.
Invite me if you like. Oh, I don't mind.
Carol and I are going out for lunch.
You go out for dinner and you go, oh, what time should we meet? Oh, we'll have a cocktail at 7. We'll meet at 8. Then if you have 6 hours, you are wasted the next day, aren't you? Because you get like 4 hours kip and the long lunch. This is what we're having today.
What time would you finish filming Countdown?
So that we always did Countdown in Leeds. So we'd film 3 in the afternoon and then we'd have a tea break, dinner break, whatever you call it. We called it a tea break up there. And then you do 2 in the evening.
Wow.
Yeah.
So there was no time for long lunches while you were filming?
No. So that's why used to make up for it. At other times.
Nice.
God, we had a laugh though.
I bet.
Yeah, such a laugh. I mean, because he was the best company, Richard.
Yeah. So that's lovely because that you're not guaranteed that on jobs, are you, when you turn up on the first day and you get on with someone so well?
No,
you can go out
it took
for lunch
us quite a few years to get to that point.
You did it, yeah.
But what we had back then, and it's not like, oh, back in the day, but Yorkshire Television, so in the studios, so there were like two big studios, and Emmerdale was down the road, you know, and all of this. And there was a Yorkshire telly bar.
Yeah.
So you go in the bar and everyone was there. So there was no like grading of whether you were on camera or off camera or whatever. So my boys, as I called them, props men, really, but my boys would be in there. And then Richard and then Jimmy Tarbuck or, you know, people who were doing, I don't know, Alan Bastard, Rick Mayall or whoever was, they used to do a lot of sitcoms that they'd record on a Friday night and they'd rehearse on the Thursday. Everyone was in the bar, just everybody, Keith Barron, you know, all these like great comedy people. And then you'd just be having a laugh really and sort of discussing the show and drinking whatever you were drinking. And it was all contained. And happy. And then you went back in the next day and everyone had a good night out, but it was just lovely. It was a very special time, to be honest, because of course all of that, you know, the bar stopped and all of that. And I sort of see why, but also sort of see why not.
You lose something. You lose something.
Nice memories for you.
Yeah, they're like, lovely, lovely memories. Yeah.
I was in those like later Countdown days. I was in bands around Northampton. And when Richard passed away, we had a big memorial gig for him. And
did you?
Yeah, there was a big because a lot of the people in the bands were, you know, unemployed. So we would watch Countdown.
We were very big with the unemployed.
And, very big with students. And
my friends, the Retro Spankies, released a single that was a tribute to
what was the name of the band?
The Retro Spankies.
Okay.
That's what the band was called.
Okay.
And
love
it's
that.
It's a very good
it's
song.
It's probably an anagram of something as well.
I don't think it needs to be.
Oh, that's wonderful, Matt.
Yeah, you can probably still find that single on Spotify and whatever. But
I'll look for that. Oh, yeah. And thank you. Because he was so loved.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Genuinely, properly loved. And few people are loved that much, you know, because he was all in it, boots and all. Do you know what I mean? We were like, when we did it, it just was a dream. Like, you know, you you obviously have a very special relationship.
Yeah.
And you don't always have that, do you?
No.
No.
And you go, oh, I did a lovely show the other night with XYZ, and that was great. It's a good show, cracking show. But then you have a special thing,
yes,
and it is
yeah,
special.
Absolutely,
and,
yeah.
And we chose to do this together, but yeah. You were like thrown together, I guess.
Yeah, we were. So yeah, I was 21. God, I can't imagine being 21, unmarried.
Yeah,
I've had a few since then, Benito. Don't worry. but it was wonderful. And Richard used to say, because I was married twice, and he'd go, and one of our lines was, and he was married once. And they got divorced about a year later. And he always used to say, because he used to do the local show calendar, which like local news, you know, like London Tonight or whatever, on ITV. And he always used to say, yes. And I wore a black tie for a year and nobody noticed.
He was famous for his ties. He just said to him. So,
famous.
Yeah.
And we had, you were saying, you know, how big it was with students, which it was, because it was on at like 4:30 in the afternoon after lectures and so on. And it was, I mean, it was 5 million a day who used to watch Countdown back then. Different times though, weren't they? You know, there were only four channels.
That was the time to go shopping.
Did you?
Well, I should go shopping when all the supermarkets were empty when Countdown's on.
Well, it would be.
Yeah.
And everyone's nana had taken like the telephone off the hook.
Don't
you dare knock on the door. Don't you dare ring me while Countdown's on, you know, all of that. And it was just this joy. And Richard with his ties, so the students came in the later years. We would often have an audience of students, a whole audience, particularly in the evenings, who were younger than the show.
Uh-huh.
You know, we'd been going 22 years or something and they were all like 18.
Yeah.
And then one night they came in and everybody was in like this garish jacket and a bloody awful tie, you know, and we go, oh, what are you doing? I love your ties. I go, oh, yeah. We've all come as Richard Whiteley tonight, because there'd be like just over 100 in the audience.
Yeah.
And they'd all like from Leeds and Leeds Met Uni, you know. And we go, oh, that's fantastic. And Richard came into the studio and he was so chuffed. And I said, well, how'd you get the outfits? Oh, we all went to our dads and said, can you give me your worst jacket and your worst tie? And Richard was like, oh, that's amazing. You know, we just loved it when people made an effort.
Yeah.
You know?
And there was a great love, that's the thing. It was just like we were all in the joke together.
Yeah.
And very, very happy times.
Yeah, and you were both of you just a part of people's lives because you're on every day. And
every day.
The most regular thing that people have.
Steady.
Yeah.
And when something rude came up, that awful one that begins with CU that you see on and ends in PS, that never happened.
Oh, really?
See that, see that on a meme quite a lot. That never happened.
That's someone's got to that.
No, we wouldn't have had that one. But some did come up and then we'd have to keep a straight face. I mean, it was all about keeping a straight face. And then, of course, in the early days, you know, they go, no, cut. You will have to do it again.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But then if you'd got a 6 and you'd got a 7, James, then we had to sort of do it so that the scoring was a 7.
Yeah, of course. Because if I'd got a 6 and then James got a rude 7.
Mm.
Yeah, but it was allowed.
Yeah.
Then we had to re-record it, but give you a different 7 to say.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Because we couldn't have a rude word.
Is that in your perfect 10 quiz book? Is the
no,
CU,
it isn't.
PS.
Rude word countdown.
That's not in there.
No, rude word countdown happened in the bar after.
Yeah. Poppadoms or bread? Poppadoms or bread, Carol Vorderman?
Definitely
or
not poppadoms.
Uh-huh.
Because they are just like congealed dust, as far as I'm concerned.
I don't think we've ever had them described as congealed dust before.
They are,
I think
though,
that's
aren't
the first
they?
Time.
That's what everything is in the world, isn't it?
Is it? Well, yeah, from dust to dust. Ashes to ashes. No, not poppadoms, because when I do them, so somebody told me that you should get a pile of poppadoms and punch them.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Shall I be mother? Yeah.
Some people
and then
do
they,
that.
And then they go like bite-sized pieces.
Yes.
Yeah. And then you're meant to get a spoon and load the chutney and everything on. Well, that's not what I've ever done.
No.
So I would like break a bit off, dip it in the chutney, and then it just stays in the chutney.
Yeah, it breaks off. Yeah.
Well, what's the point of that?
So would you do that every single time you had poppadoms?
Yeah, because sometimes it's good to carry on doing the same
thing. Yeah, just keep going. Yeah.
And they're going, this doesn't work. I told you this didn't work. Yeah.
You basically got to make little crisps out of them, I find.
Yeah, I'm not a... Who's the poppadom fan here?
I love them.
I love them, but I would always choose bread
would choose bread
every time. But James chose poppadoms once when we've done our menus.
Well, no, I think it gave it a shout. Both times we did our menus, I chose bread, but they were very specific breads. Whereas actually, broadly,
you're a poppadom.
I would say, yeah,
what do you have on your poppadoms then?
Everything. I love lime pickle. I like mango chutney. I like the writer.
I like the writer.
Yeah.
I like the onions.
Yeah.
I do like onions, as you will find.
I think it's good to kick off a meal with raw onions just to prove that it's the end of it.
Yeah.
You're not going out after that.
A long lunch? We should kick off a long lunch with
raw onions. Long
lunch.
Yeah.
Well, yes. Well, so it would always be bread.
Yeah.
But I never buy bread because it hits my stomach. I'm not very good with bread. And then every now and again, like about every couple of months, I think, oh, God, because I love bread.
Yeah.
So I buy a loaf, you know, one of these. What does artisan? Yeah,
artisanal.
It's such a Ponzi word, though.
It's such a Ponzi word.
It's like homemade, fancy.
Yeah.
It's just fancy and twice the price because of the word.
Yeah, you can add £4 to it, basically, I think.
You can't.
And I fall for it every single time, even though I know it's a rip-off.
He's a sucker.
But yeah, I'm a complete sucker, yeah. But yeah, that sort of
Do you insist that it has artisan engraved in the crust?
I doesn't understand. Numbers, though, so he doesn't really know how much it is unless you're there going, and what's next said in the sequence? He doesn't know it's twice as much as the other.
Rather than counting out the money.
Yes, absolutely.
Cash is not a good thing.
Can't count out the money. Also, I didn't like cash in shops anyway when it used to be the main thing when they give you change back and they put the note down and then put the coins on top of the note.
You didn't like that.
Hate
that. You'll pick that up. Yeah, how are you meant to pick that up?
Yeah. Put the coins in my hand first and then give me the note in my other hand.
Yeah. Why are you putting it on top of the note?
Otherwise, I've got to do a magician tablecloth trick to try and keep all the coins in my
hand.
That
is fun, though, isn't it?
Or airlift the coins with the note.
Can we do that at our long lunch?
Yeah. The magician's tablecloth
trick.
I am crap at it, but I love it.
You've tried it?
Many times.
Many times.
But you have to do the whole thing, don't you? Stand
at the
up.
Long
go,
lunches.
I can do this. And everyone goes, no, you can't. No, you can't. No, you can't. And you go, I can do it. I'm promising you, I can do it. And and then you persuade them, and then you're doing it all shit.
Yeah. Is that you and Richard were banned from loads of restaurants for long lunches because you tried to do the magician's tablecloth?
I don't think we were ever banned as such.
No?
Maybe we didn't return.
Struggle to get bookings the next time. Yeah.
But it's a good trick.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's always entertaining. And let's be fair, if you're going on a long lunch, you want to leave a memory behind.
Yes. Okay. Or a mess.
So at the end of the lunch, you want to do the magician's tablecloth trick.
Carnage, frankly, is underrated.
Yes.
Yeah, it is. I think Benito agrees.
Yeah.
You know, people try and keep calm about everything now, and it's like, come on, let's get a bit wild in here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the magician's trick, tablecloth trick, is a very good one.
Yeah.
Although I would recommend removing the glasses beforehand.
But then where's the carnage?
Carnage is in the glass.
Have you been to a Greek restaurant recently? You know where they smash the plates?
I'm aware of the trope, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't been for a long time. It's just sort of ignited that in me.
I've never seen them get smashed.
Haven't you?
Even though I've been to Greek restaurants.
There should be more plate smashing in the world.
Yeah, and not just in Greek restaurants, in any restaurants,
Exactly. Yeah, Wakes you up.
Yeah.
Gets you through to the next round. And you can enjoy two sets of crockery.
Yeah. Well, so they're going to bring out another set of crockery for you after you smashed up the first lot.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
I think you've got to keep the glasses on the tablecloth. I think once you start removing stuff, then you're just taking a tablecloth off a table. So I think you've got to have
everything. Do you think I do?
Yeah.
You've got to have all of it on
plastic.
This is your dream meal, though, so you can smash stuff
up. Oh, let's do it.
Yeah.
Actually, if it's your dream meal, surely you want to be able to do it properly.
Would save it until after the mains, which we're going to have to negotiate.
Okay.
And before the dessert, which we're also going to have to negotiate.
Yeah. There's a lot of negotiations.
There is such a lot of negotiation to be
had. We should get to your starter then in that case. If there's two rounds of
It would be bread and it would have like yellow
bread.
Welsh butter with like salt crystals on it.
Yes.
Lovely. Yeah.
Any particular Welsh butter that you want to shout out?
No.
No,
no,
just Welsh.
Just as long
butter.
As it's Welsh.
It has to be Welsh.
So I'm from a long line of Welsh tenant farmers.
Mm-hmm.
My tide, as we would say in North Wales, my grandfather, I grew up in North Wales. So all like uncles, step family, everybody's farmers. First boyfriend was a chicken farmer, Rick the Chick.
What? Rick the Chick?
Rick the Chick. Ricky, his name was a chicken farmer.
Yes, yeah. Rick the Chick.
So why, if he was a chicken farmer, why do people call him Rick the Chick?
It's Welsh, isn't it? No, Rick the Chick, you have Billy the Milk, you have what you have to understand.
For example,
but he was a chicken farmer. Why is he a chick now?
Billy the Milk.
Because he's the chicken farmer.
But then he should have been Rick the Chicken Farmer.
What? No, come
on. But he's not a chick, is he?
You can't say that.
That makes me think...
Chicken short for chicken farmer.
That makes me think he's going to be a chicken.
He's Ricky the Chicken Farmer.
Yeah.
He's Rick the Chick.
Rick and Farmer the Chicken Farmer. You want me to be called that?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, Rick and Farmer.
Because that just makes me think he's a chick.
In Wales is that a lot of people have the same surname.
Yes.
So you have to distinguish, and a lot of people have the same first name.
Yeah.
So a very common name would be like David Jones, for instance.
Mm,
And so, and a lot of people would be that. It's like even in, you know, in our rugby scrum, we've got Wynne Jones and Alan Wynne Jones.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Two entirely separate people.
Yes.
That's how normal it is.
But what do
you
call them?
So you distinguish.
Wynne the Rugby and Alan Wynne the Rugby.
No, you might say the ball.
Yeah.
Or you might, you know, you'd give it. So it's like my stepfather was, who's my dad, who's Italian. He was Italian prisoner of war, Italian food. We're coming on to that.
Uh-huh.
And he had Di Ginge. So it was David, and they all had this. So Di Ginge would work with my dad, and then there would be Di the Spark, or as you would prefer to call him, David the Electrician.
David the Electrician.
Yeah, yeah. That's
not quite the same.
Yeah.
Did you have a nickname, Carol?
Yeah, but I'm not telling you. Because that would go viral.
Really?
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
So your dream starter...
Right, this is where we negotiate, right? Because...
Oh, I didn't know. You said you were negotiating on the mains and the desserts, but we're negotiating on the starter as well, are we?
It's all negotiation.
Well, here's the thing, right? It's a long lunch.
Yes.
So I may put this negotiation in now because the main, which we're going... I don't like main courses.
Okay,
fair enough.
So if I were going into a restaurant, I'd have two starters.
Yeah.
But I might also have a side.
Yeah. I think that's fine.
Fine.
That's okay.
So you're skipping the main?
I would prefer, because we're on the long lunch, so we've had the bread.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That lasts an hour, doesn't it? Because we've started tanking it a little bit. So
we'll roll back then. What are you tanking it with?
Yeah, we normally do the drink later, but if you're tanking it, then we can talk about
what have you started. Sort of a little arrival drink. You know? A Whiteley lunch, really, because they were the happiest ones.
Yeah.
And
so very lucky that we're getting a Whiteley lunch on the podcast.
Yes. So he particularly liked white wine.
Of course.
Whereas I probably prefer a red wine.
Yes.
So I would probably go for a red wine. But because I don't actually drink very much at all.
What?
Not nowadays, I don't.
Not nowadays, no.
No, I don't. No, not at all. So at home I have like a little sherry glass of it. That's enough. Yeah. But anyway, I'm on my dream lunch, so... Now I'm not worrying about the hangover.
Yeah.
Now we're just...
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, we're not going to give you a hangover. We're taking that away.
So when you arrive at the restaurant and sit down...
Yeah, and now I'm going for the sparkling water.
Sparkling water.
Because when I was at... Do you remember the Dover Street Wine Bar?
No.
No, it's in central London, and it was great. It was downstairs.
Yeah.
And you could be there till like 6 in the morning. And they always had a live band. And it was owned by a Greek guy called Tony and George. And one of the waiters who I saw quite a lot, he always used to come and Tony would go, "Oh, Uzo, Uzo, Uzo." You see, if you were sitting with him. And I go, "Oh, God, no. And so this particular waiter would come and he'd go, "Here is your Uzo." And everyone would go, "Hey," like that. And he went, "And here is a glass of water. Water is your friend for tomorrow." So now if I have like a glass of wine, I have a glass of water with it as well.
Your friend for tomorrow.
I heard, though, that with Uzo, water's not your friend the next day because apparently Uzo, this might be one of those myths, crystallizes in your stomach.
Does
right?
it?
So it gets you drunk and then crystallizes in your stomach. And then when you drink water, it basically dilutes the ouzo crystals and makes you pissed again.
Well, maybe that's why it's so popular.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the drink that keeps on giving.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah.
Drink it again in your tongue.
Yeah, I'll have to ask my daughter. She's a scientist. I'll ask her about that.
Oh, no. My whole theory is going to be blown apart. I know it is.
Yeah.
From the man who can't accept cash in the supermarket. Yeah.
I don't handle cash.
Yeah, he's royal. He's royal.
So I'm having red wine.
So I'm having red wine.
With the bread.
But the nicest red wine I've ever had, now this is a proper name droppy thing now, was I was in America and I was on a date with my astronaut. Just thought I'd leave that there. We were in Austin,
for a second, I thought that America was the name drop.
Yeah.
You were like, this is going to be a name drop. I was in America. They get films before us.
Yeah, and it was a cracking night, and we had a Margot, and that was very expensive red wines, and I remember that. Oh God, it was good. So it's got to be a Margot, because things that you like remind you of stuff, don't they?
Yeah,
you
know, totally.
And that's when you. It's like, you know, if somebody mentions a name of someone, you know whether you like them, how your face reacts, because you go, ah.
Yeah,
you talk about Richard Whiteley, it can be nothing but joy and stories. And then there are other people who go, You know what I mean?
We'll be looking out for that face later.
Yeah. When we mentioned Joel earlier.
Yeah. A lovely bottle of Margot.
A bottle of Margot. So we're having that now.
Lovely. So that's from...
You're tanking it.
You're tanking it. And now the starters are coming.
So I like the astronaut onions. With you? Yes, he can be there. He could be there. Scallops. I love scallops. Lovely. Now, I know you were discussing them, weren't you? The roe bit.
Yes.
The other week. I would.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
Good.
You have to, really, don't you?
Well, you know, if it's there, I'll eat it. But some places cut them off before they cook the scallops,
I sort of understand that, but I like the whole thing. And I like it, you know, in that very 70s way when it's in the shell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like that.
It's nice because then if it's cooked in like garlic butter or something, then
exactly
a little pool of garlic butter in the bottom of the shell.
It's just gorgeous.
Yeah,
and onions.
Yeah, and you want onions there as well.
Love onions. I could have onions with everything. Yeah. I don't eat enough onions. I should eat more onions.
Yeah.
But when I was thinking about this, so like fried or whatever people call it, onions.
Fried onions, shallots,
caramelized onions. That one.
Very nice.
Yeah.
The crispy
onions.
Because
they go sugary, don't they? Yeah. And sweet. But the garlic, because I don't really eat enough garlic because of the obvious reasons, and butter. So this is my dream meal.
Yeah.
And that, and I am the slowest eater in the world.
Right.
Well, it's 10-hour lunches.
Yes. And the only person slower than me is my son, Cameron, who lives with me. He's 26 now, Cam. And so he is even slower than me.
Uh-huh.
But I will always, if we all went out, including you, Benito, I will be the slowest person. But I finish it. That might take me twice as long as everyone else.
Do people comment on it? People get frustrated?
A little bit sometimes. Tough.
Tough luck.
Yeah. And the waiter will always come over and they go, oh, shall I take? No. Like, just because everyone else has finished doesn't mean I have.
Hands off.
Yeah.
So you want the scallops in the shell.
How many scallops?
I would say three.
Yeah.
Which take me through about another hour.
Mm-hmm.
And garlicky butter and some oniony things.
An hour to eat three scallops.
Wow.
There's much to discuss.
But that's three mouthfuls, isn't it? That's pop, pop, pop.
Yeah. I was just thinking maybe if the three shells went on top of a serviette on top of the plate, I could rehearse my magician's trick in miniature.
So this whole meal is just now building up to this magician's trick, isn't it?
A meal is a form of entertainment,
yes,
is it not?
Absolutely.
So other people get like, oh, picky about the food. Yeah. I'm not really picky about food.
No.
I should say that.
Yeah, say that at the top of the podcast. So
I'm not a foodie.
Yeah.
It's a form of social entertainment.
Yeah.
You want the social aspect of a meal more than the food?
Oh, every time.
Yeah.
Every single time.
Would you or do you go out to dine alone ever?
No, unless, you know, you're going up to work somewhere in a hotel. Yeah, something like that. But I don't enjoy that.
Do you think, would it be as long a meal if you were by yourself in a restaurant?
Probably only be about 3 hours.
Yeah.
Because I can entertain myself quite happily.
Yeah. So this, I want to know more now about the practice for the for the trick?
Well, I've only just thought about that.
It's a good idea.
It is.
Are you doing it when the scallops are still in the shell, or are you just going to do it with the shells
finished, after? Yeah. And then I go, I've finished now.
Yeah.
James, I've finished now.
Yes.
And then I've just got a little thing because I'm building. I've got something to show you, which is magnificent after the main course. And then I'd say, right, watch this. Count to three.
One, two, three.
Woo! And all the shells remain on the plate or not.
Have they got the garlic butter? Have they got the garlic butter in them still?
Well, it depends where they remain.
Yeah, so it could be if there's pools of the garlic butter in there, that's all over me.
Yeah. I like that you're allowing yourself one of two options of there the shells remain or not.
Or not.
Or they could be on the floor.
Or not. The butter may have flown in different directions.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's another thing. Like, if you go out for a meal and people sort of worry, don't they? Like, oh, I've got a stain on here. I don't worry about things like that.
Mm-hmm. Stains.
No. Back to Richard. So there was one very long lunch. And then we went to Joe Allen's at the end of it, you know, in Covent Garden Underground, which is the late night.
Lovely.
You know where I mean?
No, but that sounds exciting. Underground,
the theatre post-show hangout place. All the actors.
After the theatre go down there and everything. And anyway, we went down there one night after a very long lunch. Who turned up but Bianca Jagger? So she came to sit with us. She came to sit with us.
It's not often we get celebrity anecdotes of this quality, Carol. I'll be honest.
We are now
at Magician's Trick Time, right? Bianca Jagger comes over and she's sitting down and she is like the most exquisitely beautiful woman you've ever seen. You know, every single thing about Bianca is perfectly formed and all her clothes look magnificent and all of that. Yeah. And there's me like sobbing out. There's Whiteley and he's got an egg yolk stain down his tie.
Are you sure that wasn't the design of the tie?
Yeah.
Could have been.
No, it could have been. And so Bianca says in her beautiful accent, which I can't do very well, and he said, oh, Richard, do you have for this thing? And she said, you should take this tie and change your tie. You know, he said, no, Bianca, this is part of me now. You know, so and the last thing I saw was, so another friend of ours was there called Coke. So she said, oh, I'll give Richard a lift back to his hotel because I was staying somewhere else. It's like 3 a.m, Drury Lane, completely empty. Mm. And I'm waving off Coe driving a Honda Civic with Bianca Jagger and Richard Whiteley in the back seat. It was just, I love things like that.
The initially you said long lunches were good because you get to bed at a normal time.
Well, I know.
Yeah, but 3 a.m, partying with Bianca Jagger.
You have to go with the moment.
You do, you have to go with the flow.
Yeah, right. You do, and I don't think people go with the flow enough now.
Yeah. Really?
No, I don't think they do.
I think people are staying up till 3 o'clock still.
We've had some good long lunches.
We've had some good long lunches. We go with the flow. So then main course is going to be another starter, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And how quick? So you finish the scallops after an hour.
Yeah.
Do you then want the next starter straight away or do you want to relax, drink some more
Margaux? Again, it depends.
Yeah.
So if other people want their main course before I have my next starter, that's fine.
Yeah.
Because they take longer on a main course.
Yeah.
So I'm very happy with that.
Yeah.
Just go out and we have a good laugh. So we have our gays and girls lunches, or we used to.
Yeah.
They were long lunches. So that's like Gok, Alan Carr, Paul O'Grady, and me and Sally Lindsay. I would go out. They would be like 12 hours. They'd be hilarious.
Everyone on that table can talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
And then when we were moved away from the restaurant, you know, after about 5 hours, sometimes they actually kicked us out. And then we'd go to, you know, wherever. Oh, just got messy, but very funny.
What a great gang.
That is amazing.
What a brilliant gang.
Yeah, it's a lovely gang. So that's why I favour all of that. So we're moving on to my starts. You're having your mains. What would you be having by this time?
I'm having chorizo broccoli pasta.
Are you? Yeah. Every time?
Yeah, yeah, every time.
I'll probably have like a massive steak that's supposed to be for two people.
Do you eat a huge steak?
I can do that, yeah.
Yeah.
I cook them at home sometimes.
Doesn't it sit in your tummy?
Yeah.
That's what he likes about it. He drinks some water and he eats it again.
Do you have like two stomachs like a cow, or does a cow have four?
Cow's got four, right?
Hasn't it?
Yeah, cow's got a
little bit of ham. Yeah.
I just, all the cud goes into the same stomach for me. Yeah. If I'm doing a barbecue at home, like I buy like massive steaks and then...
And then
you sit there, but do you go? Because sometimes, you know, all the blood then rushes to your stomach, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You're like, that doesn't work well, does it, on podcast when you just do that vacant look.
Yes. Yeah. Well, if I'm at home, that's fine because that's the look I do at home anyway.
Is it?
So I just went, I just go and sit on the sofa. But if I'm preparing a big steak for me and my wife, she likes steaks.
Yeah.
But I'll do like two massive steaks on the barbecue, like slice them up, present them on a big serving dish, which is key because then you can get more than one steak.
Ah.
Because it's all one big portion and like, she just takes her time
like
with it.
Like a little quarter and you have three quarters of two steaks.
Yeah, yeah, but she assumes she's got a whole one because she's taken ages on hers.
He's tricking his wife.
That is clever.
Yeah.
That is clever.
His wife, this guy.
So I am going for the big prawns that they're like butterfly chopped.
Yeah.
And then they're spread out like that. And onions. Well, am I allowed two sides if I only have one starter?
I reckon if you're not having a main course, you can have two starters and two sides.
Yeah.
Two starters and two sides. Well, so starters in total and two sides.
Yeah.
You've got the scallops and the prawns.
And I'm happy about that. Because sometimes in a hotel, I don't order a main course. I just order the sides because I prefer the sides to be honest.
Yeah.
So my sides are lovely tomatoes and red onion.
Lovely tomatoes. Yeah, and red onions. Onion. Yeah.
You weren't mine about
and then the
onion,
other one is a divided one. So it's got mashed potato.
Yeah.
And my favourite vegetable of all time, onion. Which once October comes, I eat every single day. What is that vegetable?
Okay. Is this in the book? Is this in the quiz book?
Once October comes.
I mean,
butternut squash?
No. Pumpkin. Nothing fancy. Nothing
Leeks.
Fancy.
Welsh.
Getting close. Sprouts.
Sprouts. Sprouts.
Yes.
The king. And queen and baby of vegetables.
The three genders.
I will often buy a bag of sprouts a day.
Sorry, Carol, you just hit on the thing that will make us laugh the absolute most. I don't know why that's so funny.
Sprouts.
No, but king queen, or baby.
King, queen and baby. Of the vegetable world. It's very funny. Like it's a phrase that already exists.
Yeah. I've not forgotten that they're the baby of the vegetable world.
Like, recently, I've been like, the director, the film director, William Friedkin, died. He made The Exorcist and French Connection. And I've been watching loads of interviews with him. And he says stuff that sounds like it's a phrase, but no one's ever said it before.
And
one is that he went off on like, yeah, he started off in a familiar place where he's like, he said, fuck them and the horse they rode in on. And then he added, and the ship that brought them here and the dog that walks behind them. And that really made me laugh.
I like it.
And that's another good. Time he was asked, someone was like, oh, Al Pacino said he didn't like the changes you made to his character. And he interrupted them by saying, I don't give a flying fuck into a rolling donut. But yeah, so stuff that sounds like a phrase, but it's not really. Yeah. And so they're the king, queen, and baby of this.
The
great.
Vegetable
We're
going to
use that, yeah.
So up my street.
How do you like your sprouts prepared?
Well, what I normally do at home is I buy them already trimmed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they come in a little plastic bag, don't they?
Yeah.
So then I pierce the plastic bag.
Okay.
Put it in the microwave. 3 minutes.
Microwave the sprouts.
Yeah, and they're gorgeous.
What?
So you don't have all the water interference.
Yes.
Okay.
When you steam them, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And obviously you can roast them as well, which I often do. But if it was for this, I would go with the steamed microwaved sprouts.
You want microwave sprouts?
Quite simple, yeah. With black pepper, salt. I do like salt.
Yeah.
I know it's bad for you.
No, it's all right. Salt.
And butter. I'm going heavy on the butter today.
Welsh butter on the sprouts as well.
So how are you doing? So you're putting them in, you're piercing the bag, putting them in the microwave, and then I guess you're taking them out and then salt and pepper and butter after they've been cooked.
Well, obviously, yes, after the microwave.
You're not putting them
after this intense cooking escapade.
Yes.
I really hate cooking. Yeah. I had to do it from the age of 10. I had to do tea, as we call it, every night. You know, my dad would come in at 5:45 and the tea had to be on the table. In the days when we all had sliced bread and butter, chopped up. And if it was posh, you'd do it like a triangle rather than but you had to slice it. I was so good at cutting bread and butter. And like lace doilies, you could hold it up. Uh-huh. So I cooked all those years. And then when the kids were older, I just thought, oh, I bloody hate cooking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really don't like it. Yeah. I did win Star Baker Apron, though.
Did you?
Yeah. Wow. I can cook. Don't want to cook. That's me.
You're bringing up bad memories for James. He had the worst celebrity bake-off appearance of all time.
Did you? Did you come last?
Well, they don't make that official, but it was implied.
But you did.
Yeah.
It was implied.
Well, you could tell.
No.
Yeah, it was really bad.
What
was
your showstopper?
Well.
I made Brixie Park out of meringues.
Yeah. I mean, they were all showstoppers in a way, as in they should have stopped the show.
Was it that bad, James?
It's pretty bad.
Was it?
Yeah,
mine
yeah.
was wonderful.
And mine was fine. So we've got the full gamut here.
The full range.
Yeah. I should have worn it, shouldn't I? I should have worn my star baby.
Yeah, that would have been amazing.
Can I tell you about my showstopper?
Yes, yeah. Go on. Let me hear about it.
Mine was wonderful.
My showstopper, it was all about your favourite bit of leisure time, relaxing time. So, of course, everyone goes, oh, bath. You know, have a glass of champagne in the bath. I thought, that is what I would do. But I wanted to think of something different, about proper leisure time. So I made a cake, like the size of a bath, not a big bath, but so that was the cake rather than a little one. And then I put fondant icing all the way through, like a roll top bath and all of that. And then the champagne. Everyone else is boring, goes, oh, well, I bought this, like, you know, icing that's done in a champagne. Oh, no. So I got Rob Rinder to strip a Ken and a Barbie. I put Ken and Barbie in the bath. And then you had to pour a bottle of champagne into the bath. Yeah. And drink it out of straws before you're allowed to eat the cake.
That's good.
Right.
See?
Now, was Rob Rinder on the show with
you? Yeah, I was going to ask.
Because it sounded
like... I didn't just happen to have like, him.
Well, we needed to get Rob Rinder to strip a Ken and Barbie because he's the guy who does that for
he's
people.
He's the guy who will strip a Ken and a Barbie. And to be fair, I would. Yeah, that would make sense. I've met Rob Rinder. I'm sure he would happily strip a Ken and a Barbie for anyone who asked him.
He stripped Ken and a Barbie for me. And then what you had to do, and then you had to... drink the champagne because it's like a party game. Drink the champagne and everyone's involved out of your straws, and then you chop the cake. And by that time, the champagne has kind of gone through the fondant icing, taken like a lot of the sugar through, and it's not a dry cake, it's quite moist.
Wow, did you come up with that yourself?
Yeah,
that's pretty
I mean,
amazing.
That deserves star baker. Yeah. That does. I mean, I was nowhere near any of that. If I'm honest, I'll be completely honest. Prawns, we haven't heard much about the prawns. We've moved on to the
well,
the
I
sides.
Like the ones. You know when they say, when you order an Indian and they go, well, you can have like a normal prawn or you can have like a big, fat,
what?
Prawn.
Tandoori?
I do not know what word you are replacing.
Big fat, well, you know, it's like with anything. Like when it's over the top,
prawn.
You go, it's a...
Fucking?
F-off dress. Or
big fat
fuck-off
prawn.
Like
okay.
And they say that to you in the Indian restaurant, do they? You can have a normal prawn, but you can have a big fat fuck off prawn.
Yeah, but everyone knows what that means, don't they? You know what I mean.
Eventually, when we got down to what it was, is it off brand for
and
your
I
swear?
And I think it's very. I think that is very expressive.
Yes,
I don't want to.
Everyone knows what that is.
Yeah,
it's like King, the Queen, and the baby of prawns.
Is it? Do people use that phrase? If you don't mind
the
me dwelling on it,
bank.
No. The fuck off, big fat fuck off prawn.
Well, I do
because no, I know people use it, but use it to describe size. But is that because when you see it, it's so big, you go fuck off? Is that why?
No, because it's a fond form of that.
Yes,
of those words.
Yeah,
and there's a big difference between like scowly version or like a happy version.
Fuck off!
No, not like that. It's like a. Like that.
You said it a little bit. What I love about this is that you've introduced this phrase into the conversation.
I'm the most reluctant
one to say it. You can swear on this podcast,
but you don't want
to. Do you think your fan base would not like it if you swear?
No, it's not that. I don't think about things like that. Tom O'Connor, do you remember Tom O'Connor?
Yes, Tom O'Connor.
Lovely Tom O'Connor. So Tom used to be on Countdown all the time in Dictionary Corner, and he always used to go, ew, like that, because he could go. So he said this story, so he said he went to a do, you know, he's doing he said, I went to this wedding, and said to the girl, oh, well, you know, oh, I've missed the bride. She said, oh, yes, she had a great dress, Tom. It was fantastic. And so it was like all dead white, and I had a fuck off skirt. So every time, which I thought was brilliant description.
It's lovely. Yeah.
We all know what that means.
Yeah.
Also, it's just that's just the description of a wedding dress.
Yeah. So every time Tom came in, he just used to do the thing with his hands. He used to go from his guy to go, hey, when the fuck off. So every time I think of it, I think of that. Yeah. I love scouts.
Oh, it's funny.
Yeah. I love that. Oh, I was going to tell you a story about scouts. No, that's probably very rude.
You can't tell that one. Is that the story of how you got your nickname?
No, I'm not going to tell you that one. That was a lead story.
I want to get this nickname out of you.
Well, you're not going to.
I don't feel like you are.
No, I don't think he is either.
Yeah.
Somehow. Yeah.
So, just to we'll recap all at the end, I guess. But
I've got a funny scouse story.
Yes, please. Yeah.
Okay, really funny scouse. Last time I went up there. So, you've got to understand, I grew up in North Wales, mm-hmm. that bit strip of North Wales that's, you know, a third scouse, really.
Yes.
Real, I went to school in.
Oh, man. I had a bad gig there.
Did you?
Oh, yeah, they destroyed me.
Really?
Yeah, supporting Milton Jones, they absolutely destroyed me. Yeah.
Did they? The audience?
Heckled me to high heaven. Yeah.
They didn't, did they?
Oh, yeah, they showed me.
You've never been back.
I've never been back.
I understand. So Liverpool is up the road. Mm-hmm. So you go to Liverpool for the night out and all that kind of thing. Last time I went to a big do. It was Jamie Carragher. And it was to raise money for, I think it was for a local hospice, could have been a hospice, but anyway, it was this big gig at the Titanic Hotel. Have you been there?
Uh-huh.
Stunning. Yeah. So about 500 people had paid money. Rod Stewart was there. Pixie Lott was singing. So not a huge venue, but a lot of people. So Rob was there, was on the next table, and I've known him for like years. Anyway, part of the thing is you go, don't you, and then you go from table to table and you have selfies and all of that, and everyone's going, hey, Carl, come Ed. we love orders, you know, and all of this. I absolutely loved it. So we go round. The night's getting longer and longer. I'm having a great time. Yeah. And then I go to this set and this woman goes, oh, Carol, come Ed. Here is orders. She's going to the table. She says, come here. So I'm going there and we're like arm in arm, me and this woman. And she goes, see him there. And she pointed to this bloke on the table who was like, I don't know, in his 30s or something. She said, you've been in his wank bank for 6 years. Can he have a selfie?
I mean, there's a lot of... I mean, I was going to say there's a lot of questions we can ask about that story, but I don't think we will.
I think we know. I think we already know the answer to that guy used to wank.
Well, six years is very specific.
Yeah,
I know. Anyway, I did have the selfie and told him not to laminate it.
Right, well...
Doesn't need to, it's on his phone.
There we go. That's life.
Put it on the screen.
That's life.
That's life.
You just wrap up that anecdote by saying that's life.
Anyway, that's life.
It's no one else's life,
I told... I went over and told Rod, he said, oh, I've got to go over and shake his hand. I said, I wouldn't advise.
Your dream drink, if we haven't put you off. I mean,
I've done it, the Margot.
So Margot you can have that throughout. Through. Yeah, you can have that throughout. But if you wanted another drink, do you switch it up ever?
Well, I would drink champagne. Bollinger is my...
We'll give you a bottle of Bolly.
Thank you.
We'll sling that on
there. Thank you.
No problem.
Well, I mean, we're kind of at the dessert, even though it's been a roller coaster ride.
Yes, it's been very...
But you promised us more negotiations here.
Yes.
So...
I am not going to say, happily for you, cheese board.
Thank you so much.
Because I don't like cheese.
No. Good on you.
I would eat it about once a year to have a cheese board.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't think of anything else.
Yeah.
But I'm also not into puddings.
Okay.
So this is the negotiation, because long lunch. So we started at around 2:30-ish.
I'm a bit nervous about this.
So now we're at about 6.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I would go for a sort of very specific afternoon tea with, because a restaurant, I live in Bristol, and I've seen them serve afternoon tea with dry ice on it. So it like, you know when it, what do they call it when it's on like different levels?
Yeah, like a tiered.
Yeah, I know.
Thing.
Yeah.
And then they put dry ice and it all sort of tumbles. Yeah. Like that. Again, it's about the performance of the food, right? So I was thinking then I could have little mini this and mini that. Because I'm not into puddings and I don't really understand why people eat puddings.
What? You don't understand particularly why.
But you're picking an afternoon tea, which presumably has like multiple different cakes and tarts on there, right?
I'm taking the sandwiches away. So that's exactly the point. So there'd be like the little things. You know that you buy Marxies for Christmas.
Yeah.
And you have 12 like little chocolate flapjacks or something like that.
You put some of those on there.
It's that, yes. Yeah. So that then you can make it last for a couple of hours. And lovely, I could be kind and offer you my tiered thing with the dry ice.
And I would accept that invitation.
You would, wouldn't you?
Yeah, then, yeah.
So I think on it, they're all the little mini ones. Mm. I'd have an eaten mess type of thing. I like that. Mm-hmm. A little trifle. I love trifle.
A little trifle.
Yeah. I do like a trifle. I used to be really good at trifles.
Well, then you must understand why people eat desserts if you like a trifle.
Well, yeah, but they get, you go, oh, I'll have a pudding. And then you have one thing.
Yeah.
That's what I don't understand.
Right, but you like dessert because you're
picking... No, more often than not, I wouldn't have one.
You are in the process of picking about five different desserts.
Yes, I am. But they're more tastes,
yes,
I would say.
Little tastes.
Little tastes.
But when you described how much you like a trifle, you closed your eyes, you were like...
Yeah, I do like a trifle. I used to make trifle all the time on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Back in the day. I was going to tell you about my stepfather. So he was a prisoner of war, Italian prisoner of war.
Wow.
So my father was in the World War II, in the Dutch resistance, Borderman. Mm. Anyway, they split up. And then and when I was about nine, my mum remarried in North Wales. My dad, I called him, and I loved him, and he swore. Every third word he swore. And he was like loud, and he'd laugh all the time. And his name was Gabriele Rizzi. I called him my dad and my stepfather. So every Friday, we'd cook Italian food. And back in the 70s, you know, the only olive oil you could buy was from Boots Chemist.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, you warmed it up on a teaspoon, poured it in your ear to get rid of the wax.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it was like vegetable oil and butter is what people would cook with. But my dad, on a Friday night, he'd get tomatoes pure, as he called it, tomato puree, because people couldn't buy that. But he went to Italy every year and brought back like gallons of olive oil and Italian food. And so he'd get steak, bash it with the hammer, and I would help him all the time on a Friday because I cooked through the week, and then Friday was Italian night. We'd bash, 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 bash. And then we had proper Parmesan, not the stuff that you had in a dry tube that smelt like sick. Not like that. It was like proper grated Parmesan. Breadcrumbs, because you'd save the bread from the week before and then crumb it all. And then mix it all up, beat an egg, and then so it's flattened steak. And then you, I suppose it's like Milanese, really. Mm-hmm. And then you put it in the egg and then put it in this like fresh breadcrumbs and Parmesan. And then we fry it in olive oil. And then at the same time, chop a lot of peppers up and then put it in this sort of, came almost sludgy really, but was so tasty, of tomato puree and olive oil. And it just used to sit on the Arga cooker that he'd found in a house that he was doing up and brought it out and plugged it in. And that was just bliss.
Yeah,
and that
amazing.
Was like Friday night would always be that.
Oh,
and there
lovely.
Was something lovely about you had the same thing on a Monday. Every Monday you had the same thing. Every Tuesday you had the same thing. And of course you always, back then, because it wasn't processed food, you had to cook it from fresh. Now everyone goes, oh, I cook from fresh. Well, you had to then.
Yeah, yeah.
So he was brilliant.
There's something quite Italian about these long lunches that you like as well. It feels quite Mediterranean
is.
And
and sort of just chilled rather than being fussy about, oh, and have we had, you know, have they served us properly and all of that. You just dig in.
Yeah.
Mm. And with these desserts, you've got the trifle, you've got the
Eat a mess.
Yeah, lemon meringue I like as well.
Lemon meringue.
Yeah.
One of those little chocolate flapjacks from M&S?
No, I'm not keen on chocolate, really.
No,
I'm cheap to keep, you see.
You're cheap to keep?
I am very cheap to keep. I do like a bit of ice cream.
Uh-huh.
And I do like lemony stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said to Jules, my friend, who I was telling you about earlier, because she's disappointed she can't be here, and she said, I've got to choose food that she likes, and I said no. But I said that I would allow on the afternoon tea tiered thing.
She's allowed to come for this. But...
a Viennese whirl dipped in chocolate.
Okay. Mm. Well, thank you for your contribution, Jules.
But she's weird. She likes things like that.
Yeah?
So, yeah.
She got a nickname?
Jules. Jules.
Jules. Jules. Lovely.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I think this. I was really scared for a bit there. We weren't going to get a dessert. It was going to be another.
I
thought you were eating all the way through to dinner and having another meal, and I was going to, not see any puddings here. But
no.
This was...
Do you like a pudding?
Love
them. He loves
them. Do you eat sweet tooth?
Yeah.
I actually really, I think I'd go for something more like what you've picked, like little tastes of things.
Tastes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, but we'd have to have, you know, you want that performance again, don't you? So the whoever's waiting, you know, whoever's serving, I could offer you, James, mm-hmm. you could have a selection. But before that, we have to have more dry ice.
In the dry ice.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll keep you stocked up on dry ice, don't worry.
Would you? As fully the genie.
Yeah, fully stocked up on the dry ice.
Marvellous.
Maybe I'll pump in some more when you do the tablecloth trick.
Now, does the dry ice not sort of trigger memories of Stars in Their Eyes when they bring the dessert
over? Well, then,
over?
Yeah, well, it might cue that's me into why, the yeah. song.
That's oh,
yeah.
why, if I may,
yeah.
that's why the dessert is to share.
Oh! I've seen what you did
great.
There.
That's great. It's just good stuff.
God, genius. Absolute genius from this something
Benito,
spankies.
You could just cut that out.
Retro spankies.
Retro spankies. Yes, yeah. You could have a retro spanky pudding, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Retro spank. I'll have a retro spanky, please.
That's what that guy calls it when he watches old episodes of I'm a Celebrity.
Hopefully got access to the retro spank bank. I hope I've remembered my PIN number.
Well, the PIN number for the retro spank bag is one big one and five small ones.
You're very naughty.
Good, isn't it? Good fun.
Mine was an innocent tale.
Carol,
what
are you talking about?
It was funny,
innocent though. Tale. it was funny.
It was funny.
No one's arguing it. We laughed a lot. But no it innocent tale has ever included the phrase, you've been in this wank bank for 6 years.
I know. Can I have a selfie?
That's you said at the beginning, to be fair,
yeah.
You don't have to be polite with me. So,
well, I did, yeah.
Yeah, true,
yeah. And I maintain that. Yeah.
I'm going to read your menu back to you now. See okay. how you feel about it.
Okay, go on.
So this is a long lunch.
Long lunch.
You would like sparkling water with a jug of fresh lime juice.
Correct.
And you want Margaux red wine from the beginning. You're tanking it.
I think so, yeah. Well, I'm not tanking, but, you know, yeah, I like Margaux, yeah.
Pop it on some bread. You chose bread with yellow Welsh butter and salt crystals.
Mm-hmm.
Starter, part one of the starters, three scallops with the roe. In their shells with garlic, butter, and onions.
Yeah. Followed by a mini magician's trick.
That's when you're doing the magician's trick.
Yeah, that's the, no,
oh, yeah,
that's
with the mini
yes,
one.
The
James.
Mini one with the shells.
With the,
yeah.
I think we made that quite clear.
Yeah, I think yeah. it was very clear.
Absolutely,
we discussed it for a while.
With the shells. Second starter. We ain't really get into this, but big prawns, butterflied,
give
chopped.
Me proper name.
More yeah. onion. Big fuck off prawns.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Would you ever have big fuck off butterflies prawned?
That's what I want.
Yeah, curled up with like prawns.
Yeah, yeah.
Sides, lovely tomatoes and red onions.
Correct.
Mashed potatoes and sprouts.
Yeah.
Salt and pepper and butter.
Lovely.
Sprouts are in the microwave.
I love sprouts. I literally, some weeks I have like sprouts every night.
What?
I will have a bag of sprouts, shove it in the microwave, and then I'll mix it with a little bit of curry or something like that.
Curry and sprouts.
Fucking hell, Gareth.
Fucking hell. Are you trying to join the astronaut in space?
I love sprouts.
Yeah.
And Richard used to love sprouts. We were Christmas babies, so I think it's a thing.
That's what
Christmas
I call sprouts.
Babies. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Christmas babies.
Christmas babies. That's why they're the king, the queen, and the Christmas
sprouts.
Babies.
So somebody said you don't eat too much bread because it really hits your stomach.
sprouts. They're amazing.
Yeah, oh, look, I love sprouts.
And they're delicious, but like... You know, I've never met someone who has sprouts every night. Sometimes mix it with curry.
I have an obsession with sprouts.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're getting them here. Drink. Obviously, you're having the Margaux all the way through, but also chucking in a bottle of Bolly here.
Yeah, definitely.
And then the dessert, an afternoon tea. Take the sandwiches away, and we've got a mini eat and mess, mini trifle, lemon meringue, bit of ice cream, Viennese well dipped in chocolate for Jules. And it's all got dry ice coming out of it, which I'll top up whenever
you'll
you
top
need.
Top up because you're a genie.
Yes.
Yeah. And then we're talking big tablecloth trick at the end.
Yes.
Yes.
Straight
and
down
then
into
then we're
bar.
Thrown out of the restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then we chuck
Boom!
You out.
Off to the pub.
Yeah.
So I'm very happy.
Yeah, that's a great menu.
That sounds
and
great.
I love that we've finally got a long, long lunch on the podcast. That's perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Carol.
Well, thank you both.
Thank you, Carol.
I'm hungry now.
Well, there we are, James. A fantastic chat and a brilliant menu from Carol Vorderman.
An episode for the Wank Bank.
It was lovely to have Carol in the Dream Restaurant.
Sorry, I hold my hands up. I don't know what that phrase means. I was pretending when Carol was talking about it, but I'll have to look it up later what it means. I assume it's positive.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm using it, but I'll look it up later.
Yes, okay. Thank you, James. Carol, of course, did not say Alphabetti Spaghetti, so
Thank
she could
Carol.
Stay well within the Dream Restaurant. And it was lovely to chat to Carol and her new book, Perfect 10 Quiz Book. Carol Vorderman's Perfect 10 Quiz Book is out on the 14th of September.
Check out the podcast as well, Perfect 10 with Carol Vorderman.
Yes, go and check out all of that stuff. Also, if you like books, I've got one coming out in October. Ed Gamble is the name of the author. And the book is called Glutton, The Multi-Course Life of a Very Greedy Boy. That will be available everywhere you get books. You can pre-order now. You can pre-order the audio book, which will be available from all those places. Just go and buy it. It is good.
It's going to be so good. I know it's going to be good. I'm really looking forward to getting it.
Thank you.
Also, if I may, I'm on tour and we've announced new dates for next year. There's still tickets for them. So, you know, if you live in Liverpool, Nottingham, and some other places that I can't remember.
Yes.
Then please come along.
If you live in Liverpool and you see there's tickets available, you'll probably go, oh, there's fuck off loads of tickets left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good.
Something like that. That's a back reference to something Carol did, by the way. I'm not being offensive.
Yes, yes.
If you're one of those people who skips to the outro.
Skips it because love the outro. Yeah. No, fair enough.
Thank you very much for listening. Oh, I'm on tour next year.
Oh.
Ed Gamble, Hot Diggity Dog. Edgamble.co.uk for tickets. Yeah. Going everywhere. Also, massive shout out to Dalesford Organic for sending us a hamper. We once complained that they accidentally sent a hamper to the office, meaning to send it to someone else, and we loved all the look of the stuff in there, but we had to give it back to the people who actually deserved it.
Yeah.
Well, that worked.
Yes.
And now we got a hamper.
Can't believe it's happened. We've been divvying it up between records today.
Yes.
It looks like Ed's got the cannolis and I've got the Florentines.
Well, I've got one pack of cannolis and then I'm perfectly happy to give Benito a pack of cannolis.
Yeah, yeah.
Because when you say divvying up, what happened is Benito left the room and then we really started raiding it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I gave him a cheese as well.
Oh, yeah, that's nice of you.
But I shouldn't really be eating cheese.
No,
shouldn't have cheese at home. Because I'll eat it like an apple. I'll eat it like a hand fruit.
Yeah.
So, do you want some more cheese, Benito?
I imagine you're hoping that he says no, though.
I want to take the cheese home and go, oh, we were given this and it would be such a waste.
Chop it up, put it in your fruit salad.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Bye!
Hello, it's Rob Orton here. Now, I've got a podcast called the Rob Orton Daily Podcast. It's a short poem or story or a musing on a particular subject every single day. What if you commissioned Picasso to paint your house and he just painted it white? Would you be annoyed? Wouldn't it be good if you could pour Miracle-Gro onto other things, such as pizzas? Have you ever thought about what a beach might be like if it was made from digestive biscuits? Have you ever tried to cry about something you're not thinking about? If you would like to listen to a daily podcast that includes subjects I've mentioned there, then please listen to the Rob Orton Daily Podcast.